This is a second-to-last meeting of the MARS Working Group. It's December 7th, and it is 2:04 p.m. Let's go around and introduce ourselves, both working group members and audience members. My name is Justine Forsyth. I'm the IRC representative on the working group and the chair of the group.
Patricia Winget, Department of Health.
Beth Sheffer, Department of Transportation.
Mary Lynn, Minnesota Pollution Control Agency.
Bert Black, representing Secretary of State Simon.
And who do we have in the audience?
Okay. John Hulquist, House State Government Finance Committee Administrator.
Okay.
Cindy Maxwell, Revisor's Office.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome. All right. Our first item of business is to review and approve the minutes from our December 7th meeting. There's a copy in your packet. I do not have any changes to the minutes. Yes, Beth?
I had a suggestion that isn't a change in meaning, but just might be a little bit more consistent with the formality of the document. And on the second page, just above the table, I would propose just saying sections to be drafted rather than blurbs to be written up.
Okay.
And then similarly, the very last line, other than the line that says adjourn, I would recommend replacing the word blurbs with sections.
Okay, any other suggested amendments? We're just reviewing the minutes. Do you know if you have any changes?
I didn't have
any. No? Okay. Can we get a motion to approve the minutes as amended?
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, the minutes are approved as amended. Would you like to introduce yourself, having just joined us?
Denise Collins, Office of Administrative Hearings. Chief Judge Tammy Poost, Office of Administrative Hearings.
Welcome. All right, our next order of business is to make a decision about how we are going to approve the final report, likely to be done at our next meeting. We had an initial conversation at our last meeting to readdress what process we wanted to use to approve it, with our goal being consensus of the group of supporting the report as written. With our goal being consensus, I would recommend that we do what we have done similarly in taking a vote and then discussing any potential issues rather than perhaps having a signature page or something else. That seemed to work well given the size of the group. I don't know that a paper ballot is necessary. That would be my suggestion. If anyone else has any concerns or other ideas. Patricia?
Well, I think that makes sense. I think that as we work through these issues, we might find that some of the things that were sticking points may not be sticking points as we go through the report. So I think that we could use that as our working process, and then if we come to the end of today's meeting or we have come to our next meeting and decide that that's not working, then we could revise it. But I think that that's a good aim for going forward.
Okay. Bert?
Let me clarify this because I'm not sure I understand exactly what the process is. That we're going to have a discussion. That the proposal, which presumably we'll vote on now, is that we'll have a discussion, we'll go through the report, and that there will be a vote at the next meeting, yes or no, as to whether individual members approve the report.
That's what I was envisioning, that today we were going to have a more detailed discussion about the draft and discuss possible edits or suggested changes, whatever they may be, and then at the last meeting, when we have a final draft, hopefully we've incorporated all changes, we've addressed all concerns, and that the group can come to consensus and support a final vote that we're happy with the report as will be submitted.
Well, of course, that depends on whether we're happy with the report.
The hope is that we come up with a report that we can all support and vote to approve and submit. Beth, at the next meeting.
That certainly would be a really good aspirational hope, but I think we need to be prepared in case people do not agree and know what we're going to do in that instance.
Bert?
Well, if people do not agree, I would suggest that be recorded and noted in the minutes, and if enough people don't agree, well, then we have more work to do. If a majority of the group doesn't agree, you don't have a report yet. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying that certainly is theoretically possible.
Would you suggest just having that documented in the minutes or having a brief statement included in the actual report itself of, given the vote that we had at our last meeting, to have the tone of the report be of a more neutral nature?
We'll see.
Okay. Well, I guess we can leave that option open. We can try the general vote, see how that goes, depending on what kind of edits we have or changes we have based on our conversation, and then we'll proceed as we need to if there is any concern about what's in the report. Can we agree that that is a good way to move forward? Yep. Okay. So then our next order of business is to go through the draft report that I sent out before the holidays. I'd like to give each member a chance to just give some overall feedback. If you have any global thoughts or changes, whether it's tone or anything like that, and then we can go through each section briefly. And if there are any major significant changes that need to be discussed, or you can send me minor grammatical or formatting edits, and I'll work on incorporating those into one master document that then we'll all review finally. So if you don't have a copy with you, there is a copy of the draft report and the various appendices in your folder. I have gotten some comments and edits so far that aren't necessarily reflected in here. I do have an edit from Beth based on a conversation she had from Paul. And I have some brief feedback from Minute related to the Odyssey funding section, just some kind of minor points and some statutory language that they would like us to call out in more detail that I will work on incorporating. I got that email just before I left. So those are some things that I will be adding. Does anyone want to go ahead and start off our conversation? Anyone have any initial overarching thoughts about the document that they think should be improved or changed? I'm open to all feedback. Beth?
Before we get into the substance, I had another thought about process, and that is, I think it's possible that many of us were out throughout the holiday season, which, at least in my case, I received the report the day I left, and that didn't give me much time. I did get a chance to go through it, but not entirely. I wondered if it would be possible, workable, reasonable for the deadline to get comments in to you directly to be Friday instead of tomorrow.
I think that's fine. Beth?
And then the other thing I was going to recommend is that if people send edits to you, that they copy others, because that way we'll avoid redundant editing.
Okay. You can do that. I have received one set of edits that I guess I we could circulate. I don't know if people want to take the time to review everyone else's edits or if you want to leave it up to me to synthesize them. But I'm fine if people want to send them to the group. So, okay. Okay. We had a couple more members join us. I'll just let you introduce yourselves for the record.
Joni Pope, Campaign Finance Board.
Welcome. Welcome. Okay, does anyone have any, if you've had a chance to review it, does anyone have any general global feedback or thoughts on the document they want to share at this time? Or you can send them to me by Friday. Anybody?
I guess I thought it was a good neutral. It seemed, you know, our goal was to have something neutral, and I thought that came through. I didn't really see a recommendation either way in the language. So I thought it was a good first draft.
Okay, thanks. I'm happy to continue to take feedback. So, Suzanne?
Thank you. As you know, I wasn't part of the MARS group meetings earlier, and so when I reviewed the document, I found some things a little bit confusing, and maybe because I wasn't part of those discussions. And so it seemed like some of the things that were discussed and the way they were organized, it was confusing for me because I wasn't there learning about it all along. And so I've started to make some suggested edits that are more clarifying for the non-involved person. I don't know if that's something that you are interested in, but I started to get confused about which group was being referenced at various times throughout the document because there were multiple iterations of mm-hmm. what is now this MARS working group, mm-hmm. and it sounds like there were other iterations of various rulemaking database type things that I thought might benefit from being kind of renamed and then consistently used throughout the document so we know which group and which database is being referred to at any time.
Those would be helpful edits if you want to send them my way. We want to definitely make sure that it's clear for an audience that hasn't been part of our intimate meetings and group settings.
So. Okay.
Bert?
Suzanne, could you give us maybe an illustrative example of just one of those things so we can get a little more context for that, please?
Sure. So, for example, on page 5 of the report, under executive summary, the first sentence says, "This report summarizes the history of the existing MARS system." And so, and again, I wasn't part of these discussions, so if I'm way off in, like, left field, please ignore it. But so my comment is, I have concerns about referring to the beta system as the existing MARS system because the legislation establishing the MARS workgroup refers to it being a concept for a new software application. I think MARS, in quotes, should be a defined term that refers to the legislative definition. For example, one option would be, so this report summarizes the history of the existing rule beta system or rule database beta system or something like that, because it seemed like MARS is referring to all previous iterations of the rule database system that's been around or has been researched. And for me, maybe I had a preconceived notion that MARS was specifically what this new legislation was creating. And so so I think on So yeah, like on page 6, under history of MARS system, revisor rule status beta system, and it's referring to the $35,000 that was appropriated. In the fifth line down, it says that these funds to design and implement a beta MARS system, and I suggested maybe saying used these funds to design and implement a beta rulemaking database system website, and then in parentheses, quote, beta system that made state agency rulemaking documents accessible.
Patricia?
Well, Suzanne brings up a good point. I'm not sure I agree with her exact solution, but I think we do need to untangle this and come up with something that suits that. One of the difficulties with saying using MARS only in a certain circumstances, we have a long history where that's what it's already been called. And if you look at the rural status database, it's already labeled MARS. So I think we have to figure out a way to address it. And I'm sure you have some good ideas in what you've said that we could refine to get where we need to go. But I don't know that I can come up with anything right here in this particular moment to do that. But I think that you've made a very good point.
I agree. I think we can take a careful look at how we're referencing it in each section. And I'm not sure when the actual MARS acronym or that phrase started being used commonly. I can find out, and we can either make a decision about where and how we use that and come up with some other terms that the revisor, I think, would support in terms of what they called it, that makes sure it reflects what's in their final report from their pilot project as well, because I think that we want to be consistent with that too.
I was just going to say, some of this, almost like placeholder names that I came up with were just based on what was already drafted here. And then I looked at the, some of the appropriating legislation to see what they called it. I guess I never noticed on the beta system because I just go to do my searches. I don't look at the headings on the current website. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mary, did you have a...
Just a similar comment. I would look to the legislative description, and maybe it's a question of where that came from. In subpart 2, it says MARS is a concept for a new software application, so where that came from, if that's helpful.
Okay, thank you. Beth?
So I opened this up for group discussion because I wonder if it occurred to other people too. But to me, the document repeatedly says the MARS system will do this, it will do that. And to me, that's kind of making an assumption that it will be funded and implemented. To me, the more natural phrasing would be it would do this or that. An example of that is on the top of page 11 under item A. The MARS system will provide a mechanism to provide the desired transparency and access to information. To me, it would seem more natural to say the MARS system would provide, with the inference being it would provide it if it were adopted and implemented.
Bert?
Or another way to say that would be the system as proposed, mm-hmm. or the MARS system as proposed.
I think that's a good point. I think the will came from my... trying to write it in an active, present, positive voice. So, but I think that would be a good way to slightly change the tone to prevent any unintended, support or assumption that it would be funded in the ways that it could be. Any other overall thoughts? Yep. Go ahead, Beth.
I'll just send it to you.
Okay. If there are any other overall suggestions, I just want to go briefly through each section and see if anyone has any significant changes or concerns that you feel need to be discussed or addressed in the group. If not, you can simply send those edits to me. And if you're the person that did the initial drafting of that section, feel free to, you know, talk about why you did or didn't include something that way. So I guess we'll just start with the executive summary. It's pretty straightforward. The executive summary, the introduction and the conclusion are, include fairly similar language, trying to be consistent throughout the document. I'll just kind of keep going through, and if you need to jump in, that's fine. And if you haven't had a chance to review it, that's okay. You can send me your edits. And then we have a general history of the Mars system where I broke it down with some kind of general introductory language. And then I started by giving a very brief overview that I pulled largely from the final report that the revisor's office had drafted about their beta system before they did their pilot project. I kind of went through some of the main steps that they took working on their system and how they obtained funding and what they did with it. And then I talked a little more about the pilot project, which occurred in the last couple of years. And then on page 7, started talking about our working group, gave a brief history of that, how it came to be, what our purpose was, and then set out the working group in terms of name and what role each individual served in the working group. Talked about our process, when we met, where you can find our materials, and then the analysis section is where I started talking about the different funding mechanisms that the group considered and the different options that we wanted to present in the report. So, first I have the first major requirement that the language had us do, which is functional and non-functional requirements. And I took some general language that I got from Melissa and other staff at the revisor office, and then just kind of wrote up what we did, what process we took, and referenced the appendix there. So I don't know if others felt like we needed to have more detailed information in the actual body of the report itself, or if referencing the appendix would be sufficient because that information is fairly technical, or if we wanted to give, say, an example of something. Those were some thoughts I had. Talked about kind of the main overarching goals of the system: transparency, promoting engagement, and then future capabilities, the idea that we had talked a lot about preserving future plumbing, so to speak. For example, like the future engagement of the public or advanced notifications, things like that. And then in section 2, and I'm on page 12 now, if I'm going too fast, let me know. I set out briefly the different funding mechanism options that we considered, kind of a brief synopsis of our discussion, whether we had someone outside come in and give us information, and sort of what our outcome was about whether or not it was something that could be pursued. So the first option is the Odyssey funding option, where I discussed about the meeting we had with Minute and their concerns about whether or not that was an appropriate option. Then there's section B is about the legacy fund and sort of the background of that fund and how it has been used in the past, and you know what might be appropriate for its use for this project. And then I'm on page 15. We have a paragraph about the appropriation option and then the paper use option that we discussed, where we include some of the statistics that we collected. Then on page 17, the private funding source option, and then the ad revenue option. And then lastly, I just had a brief summary listing out all the different options that, you know, it could possibly be funded by one or a combination of the different options that we're setting forth. and then a succinct conclusion, and then I started compiling a bibliography of different things that we used to draft the report. One thing that will be added to this is the pilot project report that the revisor's office created that's just not cited yet. And then looking at the appendix, the first item in the appendix is the, I think it's the scope document. We'll have to make sure these are all labeled accurately. And then we have the functional and non-functional requirements, which was one of our main charges for the group. And then we have the build versus buy, where we set out the background about the group's discussion of whether or not, although it wasn't a specific charge of the group, it was necessary for us to determine the functional and non-functional requirements of the system, whether we would specifically buy something that was already in existence or build something in-house to meet our specific recommendations, or maybe a combination of the two. And then we have more of a detailed schedule and or cost, or more of an overview of what it would be, what the project would look like as an in-house build. And then Appendix E are some rulemaking statistics that we had asked the revisor for that informed our discussion. And then we have the small subgroup recommendations from the small group of us that met and went through the rulemaking process in detail and worked with the revisor's IT staff to really specifically hone in the different functional and non-functional requirements that we wanted the system to have the capacity to offer. And that's where we are. So if there is anything that you feel needs to be pulled from the appendix into the draft, or something else that needs to be added as an appendix, that's also something that we want to think about as well.
Justine?
Yep. Tammy, Judge Proust. Sorry.
Can I go back?
Can you flip your... Yes.
Can I go back and just ask some questions?
Sure.
About things that aren't there, and if it's, you know, just suggestions of things that... Maybe there's a great reason, I just don't know.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm on page 6 on the beta system. I think it would be useful to include the numbers of documents that are in the beta system now, which is on the website. And it's like, it's about 2,200 documents. About 1,100 from OEH, and I think it's 1,500 from Secretary of State's office, according to the website. But whatever it is, it is.
When you say on the website, it's on the revisor's website?
On the revisor's website. Okay. When you go to the actual lookup
system.
A rule.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a little blurb there.
That's a good suggestion.
And then on page 7, when you're describing the pilot project, I think it would be useful for the legislature to be reminded of what the pilot project's report, the January 31st report, reports as the cost of the system, including the phase one, phase two issue. Because I assume that when the legislature looks at your descriptions of potential funding sources, they need to be reminded of overall what's the amount of money they need to raise.
Okay. Do you think that that would be helpful given the differences between the two systems? Or given that the pilot project had a slightly different kind of scope
than
what our specific kind of task was?
Well, why don't you advise me as to that? Because what I read was the January 31st report and then the legislation, which says sets up the committee. So where in there is a disconnect between the report and the committee?
I wish I had a copy of the report with me.
I do.
Okay.
Somewhere. Here it is. I mean, I did notice there's differences of numbers. Like they say ongoing maintenance of 500 mm-hmm. something, and this report says 372.
I had this exact conversation with Paul, and I wish that he were here to, at least from what he was saying, I think he felt like the pilot project had a much broader scope and a more of a broader, I guess, an investigation into the different products that were available out there, and that they were looking, you know, they got temporary licenses and looked at several different products on the market, and also looked very in depth into a possible in-house build option. So it seemed like it was maybe just had a wider brush, I suppose.
So I could be wrong about this, mm-hmm. and so I would defer to anybody who knows. I don't mean to keep cutting you off here. When I met with Paul and his staff, which was, I don't know, 2 months ago now, maybe not that long.
At least 2 months.
And again, dipping in, so worse than you, I know nothing. So, and I want that disclaimer to be really clear. I'm not trying to do anything more than ask questions. But it was my understanding that the revisor's office was interested in a phase one, mm-hmm. and I don't think the report says that. And okay. that report talks about phase one, phase two, costs for phase one, phase two, and if this is then going to address just phase one of a two-phase report, mm-hmm. I think that could be clear. Now, maybe that's not what you were just telling me that you thought he thought, but that's what I thought he thought, that this okay. was a phase one.
And I might have to have a follow-up conversation with him, but I know when the initial document that we had from his office where they had broken down a possible phase one and phase two, I think we decided that we were basically going to just tackle phase one, that phase two was maybe a down the road or possibly a future, but we don't specifically talk about the different phases in the report.
And I think by not doing that, it's a little confusing because there's some information, I couldn't decide to where it is, but there's some reference to legislative accessibility and things. Well, that's specifically in that January 30th report. That's a phase two issue, not a phase one issue. So it gets okay. muddy to me of
okay.
what that is. So
okay. When you say legislative access, meaning a capability of the possible system, meaning legislative staff being able to access
right.
the system and have that
and
as
file
a useful
into
tool.
It and whatever
okay.
else.
Okay.
And I, again, if we could word search, I could find where in this document it referenced that, but I can't do that at the moment.
In our document or in the final
in this
report?
Document?
I think we talk about that in the. And I know it's in the functional and non-functional requirements as it's more of a
right.
future capability of something that would be nice to have but isn't necessarily a requirement for the initial phase one of getting the system off the ground. Let's see.
And all I'm confused about is if I was... I mean, I know that people have been working on this project for years, and the people who've been working on this project for years are really familiar with that report because they participated in it, funded it, and all those
mm-hmm.
things. And it has a particular structure that defines two chunks. And so when I read this, I thought it was talking about the whole two chunks and
okay.
was confused as to why the numbers didn't match.
Okay.
If, in fact, it's just talking about the first chunk, I think that could be clarified.
Okay. I think that's a good point, knowing that if people are familiar with the final report, that this could possibly be confusing. So, okay.
And then, I mean, the functional analysis of it, or the functional and non-functional requirements, I don't see in here, and this could be purposeful and therefore totally acceptable, I don't see any reference to sort of the scope of before or after the live proceeding is completed at OAH. Because in my mind, and again, my mind is small, but in my mind there's two ways to do this. One, processes happen as they're happening, filing at OAH, judges at OAH, decisions issued at OAH, and then it goes out to the world, and the world is whatever you build here. The other is all of that work that is now done at OAH is somehow done functionally through this system. I don't think that those are two things, right? Everyone is at least with me so far. It's not clear to me which one this is addressing, and why that's relevant is OAH doesn't support building a system that is not in our court case management system for live cases. Sure, Patricia.
You're correct. Our report does not clarify that, but and maybe it's because we've all had the same assumptions and have been marching down the same course. But my view of this has been, in the however many years I've been working on this, is that we would continue to do our work the way we've been doing it. And then the people who are uploading the materials, you know, who are submitting them to OAH, writing the rules, whoever has control over those records, then determines the way we do now, which we do by paper. But we would determine when it's appropriate to submit them into the MARS system. That would be a separate upload. So we would continue to file things with OAH. The OAH processes would go forward. The judge would issue an order on review. We would do an order adopting. All of those things would take place the same way. When we get to whatever phase we think is appropriate to move it to the MARS system, and it might not be the same for each agency. Each agency would determine when it would go into the MARS system, but everything would stay the same with OAH. The processes would all be the same. We get to the end, and then at some point they all have to be there, whether people have been progressing along the way. It would, but because we do want to have this system be more transparent and talking to the public, at some stages along the way, most agencies, I believe, would be posting them to MARS, but it wouldn't change what OAH is doing.
Right, just like you post them on your own websites now.
Correct.
And you don't care.
Correct.
Right. I don't think that's clear.
Okay.
Okay. And I think if I was a legislator,
okay,
I would think, is this replacing some system that OAH has, and therefore do we have some different issue involved about, I mean, first of all, if I had general fund appropriations and I was a legislator, I might want to take those back because you don't need it. We built a new system. We don't have general fund appropriations, but it's just not a path I want to walk down if that's not something the committee's intending anyway.
No, right? It's not what the committee has never had that intention. How we would execute that will, like any other moving to electronic system, there would be some adjustments and fine-tuning that has to be involved and some glitches along the way that have to be resolved. But, no, the idea is that this would not replace anything that OAH is doing, would not duplicate. It's just a matter of when we get to the end, you know, OAH sends the official documents back to the agency. The agency would upload those to the MARS system. And at some point, we pull the whatever trigger it is we pull, and now that record becomes the official record.
Sure.
It's locked in. We can't change it.
Sure.
Nobody can change it. But, no, everything would be...
And I think that would be easy to clarify
mm-hmm. okay.
in the process part before you get into the description of the functional...
Mm-hmm. I agree there isn't a connection or a distinction between the OAH system and the proposed MARS system or even the existing MARS system and how they could work together. Support each other, and we could clarify that.
So with that, I don't have any comments about the function of or non-functional.
Okay.
I don't think you meant non-functional.
Functional.
Function and non-functional requirements. Yeah, that just sounded odd, but yeah.
Yes.
So that's fine. Whatever
okay.
it's going to be, because it's not mine, so I don't need to weigh in on that.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and none of the functional or non-functional requirements impact your system in any way. It was designed to work with it.
Sure.
What else, Mary?
So I think this kind of goes back to a conversation we had early on, and that was who is MARS for? And I think it might be helpful to include in the report, I don't know, you know, if you want to call it target audience or whatever. The report says clearly that, you know, the purpose is public transparency and having rulemaking records available. But the public is a lot of people, and it can include us as well. So maybe if it's helpful to say, the state agencies will use it for this. The rulemaking agencies will use it for this. The public will use it for this. The legislators can use it for this. OAH may use it for this. Or, you know, who if we can just better define who's going to use it for what. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think we definitely want to make sure that that's clear. So if it isn't clear enough, we can improve that for sure. Bert?
Well, I would say that's ironic, since I'm pretty sure that that's not what, even though Wendy's not here, pretty sure that's not within her motion that passed.
You don't think we could clarify the intended audience in a neutral manner? Is that what you mean?
Well, it doesn't deal with the two portions of the charge.
True, but
just a comment.
I agree that we want to be mindful of the scope and the charge and the discussion we had last time, but that particularly when we're looking at the different, for example, page 11, where we're talking about how the requirements can help promote and support the rulemaking system, that particularly given the audience for the document, that we could clarify how those requirements could support those different users, I think. Patricia?
Well, I think when I was looking at this document, what became clear to me is that we made the decision that we were going to do this neutrally. And by the way, for you people who were at the last meeting, I just want to say that after I've given this careful consideration of what we talked about, I have changed my position considerably since we had those discussions. So what I'm about to say doesn't reflect what the minutes said that I said in the last meeting, because I have now changed my mind about what my role is and what we're trying to do here. So when I was looking at this document, it occurred to me that in order for us to carry out our charge, we have to come up with the assumptions, and we're basing this on expanding on what's already been done. So we have to have certain assumptions built into this, and I think those need to be clarified just for the point of you know, for us to have functional requirements, we have to have some kinds of basic things in there, and I think that's what we're talking about, is what those basic things are. You know, what are we going to... Who's going to be using this? Well, that's an assumption that we need to have for coming up with the functional and non-functional requirements, which we did. And I think we can do that without saying we're recommending that this be built, or what was the other thing we were talking about? Well, we have to, or for describing the funding. I mean, we can do that. So...
Anyone else?
Just seeing if we're done with that topic, and I don't know if we are, but if we are, I'm on page 1213 on the Odyssey funding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I admit that maybe I did not read this clearly enough, and so that's always a good response, that I just didn't do my own homework, so let me know if that's true. But when I read this part, I didn't understand what it was really saying. I mean, I read it to be an analysis sort of whether or not the revisor's office could use Odyssey funds in support of this project. Am I right so far?
Correct.
Okay. And why I'm confused by that is this, not the issue of what the statute says. I understand that. News to me, but I understand that. But it's my understanding they don't have any funds. And Odyssey funds are only when you have IT funds and you can't use them in time. You can put them in this Odyssey savings account and they won't fall to the bottom line. And you'll be able to keep them for, I think it's 4 years or whatever Odyssey funds live for. And it's my understanding the revisor's office doesn't have any funds. So I don't know why we're analyzing whether they could or couldn't if they don't have the funds to put in.
Well, I think the question and discussion we had with Minute was whether all the different agencies that, you know, engage in rulemaking could set aside money from their agencies into an Odyssey fund pool and pool money. And although it hasn't been done a lot, it has been done before where agencies work together to fund a project. And they said that was likely fine, but even though it hasn't been done with this large of a scope, but that the issue is who would then be using the funds, because the Odyssey fund is sort of like a savings account where the agencies put their money aside and then Minute can then use the money to do a project. And in this case, it wouldn't be Minute using the project. It would be the revisor, and that was the statutory issue that they had.
Understanding that, then I don't think it's at all clear that you're talking about agencies putting money into an Odyssey fund.
Okay.
Because I don't see that mentioned at all. And I did hear that discussed, and so I knew that that had been an issue at the table. And so if you're going to say that, you should say that. But then, okay, I think you all, I mean, I think that's a delicate thing to say. Mm-hmm. And as executive branch agencies walks you into, do you have authority to say that? I mean, not that, and you can say state agencies could put money into an Odyssey fund. But again, if I'm the legislature reading this, I'm going to say, okay, who has money they want to put into an Odyssey fund. And so then I need to say on behalf of OAH, we don't have general funds. We're an enterprise fund, which means we eat what we kill. We never have money to put anywhere because we are approved by MMB to charge a billable rate that breaks even. So we would never be an option. And I don't know if you clarify that, I don't know if you were going to then address the various agencies that are part of the group and what their position is, but that's ours because we don't get any general fund funding or IT-specific funding or anything. All we get is a billable rate to bill clients.
I think if it wasn't clear that it would only be entities, agencies that had funds to put in that would have that option, and obviously only if they had funds available and if it was something that their agency leaders were willing to do.
And I think you would say all those things then.
Okay.
Because I think you need the cover of saying all those things.
Okay. Patricia?
I have a question for you, Tammy. So does this report clearly say what we concluded as for using the Odyssey funds?
What I understood was with statutory change, the revisor's office could use the Odyssey, could use money in an Odyssey fund that they had put there. That's what I understood from it. Now, obviously, that's not what you intended, so 50% must be me.
Well, I think there was also a more expansive discussion of that. That's not included because we have to figure out which details to put in. Maybe we missed something here, but we also determined that it was impractical because of the difficulties of cross-agency participation and across how far, you know, it's done at the end of a fiscal year, trying to budget over several fiscal years. It didn't seem like a viable option is where we came out.
I mean, I have lots of views on Odyssey funds as advised by Minute, but this isn't, I mean, this isn't executive branch. I don't know. But if what you meant to say was state agencies could put extra money into an Odyssey fund to be used for this, I don't think you said that.
Okay.
And I think it walks you into a different analysis, which is you can't just put any money that falls to the bottom line into an Odyssey fund. It's got to be money that's dedicated to an IT project, which means before anything dropped to the bottom line, every agency that was going to have a stake in the game on paper for an IT project. And then the biennial change wouldn't interrupt you. You'd be able to keep it in Odyssey Fund. And none of that's clear from here.
Okay.
Elizabeth? Or Beth, sorry.
Just a point of clarification. I must have misunderstood then. I thought that funds in any account, not necessarily an IT account, could then be transferred into the Odyssey account.
My understanding from the Commissioner of Minute is that you have to have Minute blessing from an IT perspective, which means you have to go through their process of identifying and, getting through whatever the state procurement system
Understood.
Is.
So it's, Understood.
So it's not just sort of we're at the end of the fiscal year and we have some money, we could buy chairs or we could drop it into an Odyssey fund. It's got to be dedicated to a tech project. At least on the executive branch side. I don't know what happens on the legislative side.
I guess I thought it was somewhere in between, and maybe I should have a follow-up conversation with John Egdon.
That's different from my understanding.
That any money that the agency has left over, they can decide to put it in an Odyssey fund, and there's an extensive review process with Minute where you basically say, here's our idea of what we want to do with it and how it meets the statutory requirements of it being IT-related, and then it has to go through the committee, the legislative approval process, too, the new approval process that happened, I think, last year.
Well, and all of that, then, even if that is your understanding, what isn't mine, but even if that is, that's not here. And so if I'm the legislature and I read this, I think the revisor can put their own money in an Odyssey fund, which they don't have. Second, if I understand, no, that's not what they mean it's state agencies. I don't understand from reading this that there are several steps that have to happen before that could happen.
Do you think the full process of accessing Odyssey funds needs to be spelled out, even if we ultimately decided it wasn't currently an option to pursue? Or of the audience of the report? What you're saying?
I should have started with the positives, and I apologize, Justine, for not doing that. Because I do think this is a lot of work, and I know how thankless that is, so I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay.
I don't see where you recommend yes this, no that.
Well,
I see you could do this, you could do this, you could do this. And there are a couple times where you say, like the ad one, nobody does this, people say it's a bad idea. I got that.
I mean, our legislative charge did not include making a strong recommendation, so we tried intentionally to keep the report neutral and set out the options that we considered and whether or not they could be something we could pursue either as is or with possible changes that were outside our control. So if that's not clear.
What's clear to me is there's this option, there's this option, there's this option.
Okay.
I think any legislative staff reading it first wants to know all the information so they can evaluate, is that cost benefit, can I really do it?
Okay.
And second, your group, who knows the most about first how much this costs and second how viable these options are, whether you're asked to or not, should make a recommendation on them. Now again, I'm backing off that statement because I haven't been here, and
we can certainly add more of the process description. I know we had a handout for a minute that overviews their process, too, that perhaps we could include as an appendix to make it. It is a complicated, confusing, process. And without them coming to our meeting and discussing it with us, we would have not really understood it easily.
Justine?
Beth?
I had that same thought that we should use the handout that they gave us that clarifies the fine points of the Odyssey Fund as an appendix. And then I also wondered, perhaps I should know this from the visit we had from the Minute person, but is the Odyssey Fund specifically statutorily authorized?
I believe so.
Okay. Because then I think
that's where they kind of get the permit.
Right. Maybe we want to reference that because I think that answers your point, Tammy, about where do we get the authority to take funds that are left over and submit them for approval in use in the Odyssey Fund. But I think the points you're making about the Odyssey Fund and clarification are very valid.
Yeah. And the section that I cited on page 12, maybe there needs to be a little bit more there connecting the agency contributions to Minute, but that at least was a section that John had pointed to that gives Minute the authority to use the funds that agencies have set aside, to receive the funds, essentially, having them transferred into their accounts. But we'll definitely work on clarifying this and making the process more clear. Suzanne?
So again, as kind of the outsider, I would agree with Judge Poos that I didn't realize that distinction that you just pointed out. I didn't know that the funding was going to come from the other agencies. I don't know, Shastini, you just talked about maybe adding more information. I think if it's possible to add something kind of succinct, that would be good. Because I don't know if we need to describe the entire process. I think that would be a little cumbersome for the people who are going to read this report. And then I don't know if, I mean, it's a little bit done, but I don't know if it's something that would, in the spirit of remaining neutral, would it be an option to include the benefits and challenges of each funding option instead of assessing the viability of each option, like giving the legislators the information, including the pros and cons or benefits and challenges, and kind of letting them do their own assessment? Or I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. A succinct addition would be good. I'm not sure how I feel about the pros and cons option, just given a time perspective. We only have one meeting left, and we had extensive discussions about each of these options where we've essentially talked about the pros and cons, and we were not asked to make a clear recommendation. And I think just providing the kind of neutral facts and options and process maybe would be enough for them to make that call as well, since we'll essentially be waiting for direction from them before moving forward.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought that the viability of each funding option was included in the report. I read this, you know, a while ago, so I don't know how fresh it is in my mind.
Sure, Patricia?
Well, I believe what we put in the report was whatever summarized our discussion. I don't think that we set out to say this is viable, this is not viable, but if we determined that something was not viable, we put it in the report. So I don't think that we had a particular protocol that we followed for doing this. I think if we're going to be neutral, then we will end up being vague about this. So I think that we can sharpen up our points, but I don't know that we want to alter our conclusions on this.
I think your charge language on page 4 does say in subparagraph or subdivision 3, the working group must define a funding mechanism to share the cost to build and maintain the MARS system among state agencies and departments.
And I think we've tried to do that by setting out the different options that we have found that could possibly do that. Maybe we need to have a slightly stronger statement at the end of the report or at the end of each section.
Well, for example, how does legacy funding meet that? How does that define a funding mechanism to share the cost among state agencies and departments by having a legacy fund?
Bert?
Although it's not in the report, it actually is in the minutes that we distributed today, minutes of December 7th, and we certainly did say that three of these work and three of these don't in our discussions. So if you look at the minutes of December 7th, which are part of today's packet, and you look at the graphic down there, you can see we said we didn't say any yeses because it's all very uncertain. But we have a lot of no's and a couple of maybes. And I guess I would say that's a couple of these were collapsed together, but they have the same characteristics. But that certainly is part of our discussion, yes.
So maybe that needs to be somehow summarized into the funding piece because, again, I wasn't at your discussion, nor did I see your minutes, but that wasn't clear to me.
Okay.
Justine, Beth. To the point about define a funding mechanism that shares the cost among state agencies and departments, I think that the thought with the legacy fund is that a joint application would be made, but I agree that that is not stated or is not clear in the report and should be made clear.
I mean, I just have to say, I don't know that it belongs in this report, but and I know this project did get money from the legacy fund at one time, and the report says that, and it also says it didn't get it the second time, and so those facts are good. In terms of the record, it's clear. But this seems problematic to me for state agencies to, on this list, it's the legacy fund is listed as a maybe for ongoing maintenance, and at that cost level, I think that would be challenging for state agencies to be competing basically with all the other arts program in the state on an ongoing basis.
I don't honestly remember the discussion from the last meeting and how clear, I don't think that we had extremely definitive conclusions on each potential funding source. I think we did generally come to some consensus, but I don't think we at the end summarized and said, does everyone agree on this, this, and this? Hearing the discussion, I would agree that the legacy fund would not be appropriate for ongoing maintenance and would only be appropriate for an initial build. And when I did look at the minutes, I forgot this when we approved the minutes, but well, I guess we have to base it on what we did at the last meeting, but I do think that it would be more appropriate, it would be inappropriate for the legacy fund to be used for ongoing operations, and it would be only for the initial build.
Any other lingering thoughts on this? Looking at the time, I think we should take a short break. But I don't want to cut off a discussion midway if there are any remaining thoughts. And
I just have one more question, really, then I'll be quiet. The $372 per year on page 16 for the ongoing maintenance, is that a number that harks back to the January 31st report? Because it's not the same number I saw, so I don't know where it came from. So maybe it's correct, and I just don't know.
I believe this.
Yeah, that one was me, and I got that off of the something that the revisor gave us. I think it was Appendix D. Yeah, Appendix D, the ongoing maintenance column.
The very last page.
Yeah, page 4.
And where did this... So is this a revised report? Because the report of the paid vendor says 552.
This is a revision that was provided to us, I believe, by the revisor's office after we had gone through the requirements and gotten rid of the more dynamic aspects, which were generally phase two. And then they came back with revisions in both the first column, which is the $1.3 million there, as well as the second column. So these, I believe these are from Melissa Patch.
Correct.
Is that right? Revisor's office.
Okay. And I apologize for not having seen it before. So the total one-time 1.3, ongoing annual maintenance 372, total with maintenance, what am I missing? Because those numbers don't add. Oh, I see.
I think that's a year and a half's worth of the maintenance.
I had the same question when I talked to her.
So...
This document is essentially reflecting phase one with modifications from our discussions changing the requirements that may or may not have been in the January 31st report.
As if phase one's only going to last a year and a half and then phase two is going to take over, because otherwise ongoing annual maintenance would be ongoing, wouldn't be 1.5 years worth.
Right. This is more like a startup, and this is... Yeah, I agree with you. This is kind of where we're starting with the 372, I think, continuing. Is that what your question was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, sorry.
All right, let's take a 10-minute break, and we'll reconvene at 3:20. Okay, let's reconvene. It's 3:25, and we'll reconvene our meeting of the MARS Working Group. Before we circle back to continuing our discussion of the draft report, I just want to hit on a couple more kind of minor housekeeping items in the interest of time to make sure we get them addressed, and then we'll come right back to where we were and address, finish B, C, and D on the draft. For the working group members that were here, the last couple meetings, we had a brief discussion about whether or not we wanted to have some kind of audience or inclusion of the governor's office in our report. And so what I, if we would like to, I would suggest that we could send the governor's office a courtesy copy of our final draft just to give them a heads up, and the legislative staff at the governor's office staff at my agency is willing to facilitate that and just send it to the policy advisor, letting them know that, you know, this is a multi-agency effort and we're just sending them a courtesy copy. If we do not feel we want to do that, we don't have to. So I wanted to have a brief discussion and make a decision about whether or not we wanted to do that or not. It wouldn't be... You know, and we're not asking for their feedback or their edits. We're simply just giving them a courtesy copy. So, feelings about doing that or not, Patricia?
Well, I think that it's a wise thing to do, to share things with the governor's office. I think that we would want to put it in context and, you know, make it clear that we were carrying out the legislative directive.
Yes.
And say that, well, none of us have had any discussions about committing an agency, and nor can we, so I think we would want to just emphasize that we were working as technical advisors to the legislature and not as representing the commissioners directly. I mean, we've been in communication with our commissioners, I would imagine I have, but I don't think that we certainly haven't asked for a commitment, nor would we until we have an actual proposal, a legislative proposal. So for those reasons, I think we would want to emphasize that so the governor's office is clear that that's what we've done.
Yeah.
At the legislature's request.
I had a similar conversation with our governor's relations director, so Beth.
I think if we're not looking for feedback or commentary, I would recommend that we give them the final report when we submit it to the legislature. I think you mentioned draft report, and that might have been inadvertent.
What I meant was essentially giving it to them a couple days before February 1st. It would be the final draft. The same thing we're submitting to the legislature, give just they recommended a day or two prior to when it's actually sent to the legislature, our governor's relations director. So if we want to do that, if they'll help facilitate that. We can also ponder it and have a final discussion about the matter at the next meeting. In the interest of time, I don't want to talk about this too long. Bert?
This is a legislative report. I mean, I understand you all work for agencies and commissioners, but it's a legislative report. I don't see how the governor has anything to do with this, except to the extent that I will say that, except for Sherstein, who represents rule writers, you're all representing agencies. And I don't think you can finesse that, Patricia. I think, and we talked about that recently, I think that, you know, when we get to a final point here, that you have to be authorized to support this by your commissioner. Now, I realize that's a little, those two points are somewhat contradictory. I recognize that. But that's okay. Lots of things around here are contradictory. Must be because we're in this room. It's the Senate, right, John? It's the Senate. We wouldn't have this conversation if we were at the SOB. But seriously, I do think that's a factor to be pointed out here, that the legislation says you represent an agency, and the way that things work in Minnesota, it's the commissioner who has the authority to act, and everybody else is just an agent of the commissioner. So I don't think you can finesse that part. But I do think this is a legislative report, and if you want to give the governor a copy before it's submitted to the legislature, I would just say you should talk to some legislators and see what they think of that.
In the interest of time, I'm going to suggest we go back to our draft discussions, because I want to make sure we have time to discuss Bert's email and the OAH concern. So I'm fine either way, but I guess I thought this would be a simpler discussion, and I want to let other members weigh in as well. So let's table this for the last meeting, since it's not a significant issue, and let's go back to number four. Were there any other edits or suggestions to the draft that we wanted to address before going on to number C or letter C? Patricia?
Well, I just am thinking about our funding mechanism discussion and the things that Judge Poost has brought up have been the things that we've been struggling with for the whole time we've been working on funding mechanisms. And I'm just thinking that it might be more direct if we came up with stated our conclusion in a respectful way, but still in a direct way, that there isn't a way to share the cost across the agencies. And what the legislature needs to do is decide whether it's going to do a direct appropriation or not. Because the money all comes from the taxpayers. The agencies don't have inherent funds under their own jurisdiction. The money's all earmarked that we get from the legislature, or we get it from the federal government, who tells us where we have to spend it. So there isn't a pot of money to share. So I think that we've done our very best to come up with a mechanism or other ways to do it, but the truth is that what we really need is an appropriation. So that's my suggestion, is that we state that in a more direct way in our report. So I'll see what other people have to say on this.
Okay.
I think the legislature would find that most helpful. I mean, I think no matter what the language was in the charge, what they want to know is, what do you need, and is there any other sources to get it? And if the answer is no, then I think you should be clear about that, so they can knock it up against whatever their other priorities are.
I think it's a good suggestion, and I think one that some of our other committee members might want to weigh in on. Not sure how best to do that given our timeline, but I think we could include a statement, just like Patricia said, that these are the options we considered, and if we don't want to give a recommendation, but that none of these options share the cost well, and therefore this is the option that is most likely to help support the project and make it succeed. So we could at least draft up some language when we share the draft and see what people think, and have a follow-up conversation at our next meeting. Okay. Then our next item of business is Bert had sent an email with some language.
I have copies.
Okay. I think everyone has it in their folder, too. I think everyone has it in their folder, too.
Is it in the packet? Yeah. All right. I have copies for the audience as well.
It's in the very back of your folder.
Given the fact that it's, I guess, still slightly unclear about how we're going to wind up in the end process of this, or at least it might be a little clearer at 2:30 than it was at 2:00 today. I just wanted to suggest. I'm used to moving things, so I'll move this as a motion. We would like, the Office of the Secretary of State would like this text to be in either the executive summary at the front of the report or the conclusion at the end of the report. And frankly, the reason for this information is because we want to make it perfectly clear to the legislature we're not taking a position on whether this needs to be done now or at any time in the near future, and this goes to the question about the specific funding options. No position other than defining funding options in favor of or against funding, the concept of funding it at all, or specific funding types. Frankly, the Office of the Secretary of State, as I said last meeting, is not convinced that out of the 5.5 million people in Minnesota, that a substantial number of them are interested in this. We don't know that they will, that there's a substantial number that will benefit from building this, given the volumes that we see in the rulemaking statistics, which is in the appendices. And certainly, we appreciate the work that's been done. But we think that the demand for resources here, even the discussion of potential resources, is a distraction from things we ought be doing in the state. And so this is, we think, a relatively benign way of putting in this report, something that we can point to say, the report talks about what could be done, but it doesn't need to be done now, doesn't need to be done next biennium. We don't know when it would need to be done. So don't worry about this being a drag on the bottom line. There are other things we need to be devoting resources to other than this. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Second.
Anyone opposed? Any discussion on the matter? Any discussion on the matter? Beth?
I'm just going to toss this out for discussion. I'm not even sure that I'm advocating it necessarily, but I think it's very possible that in a nuanced way, this is actually recommending against funding. What would people think about in the first sentence stating, this report takes no position on the question of whether the MIRA system should be implemented at all, should be implemented, period. Because when I read it and I read at all or any imminent time, to me that suggested strongly that it should not be implemented. So I would recommend that we end the sentence after the word implemented.
I'm not sure if I can agree or support as the chair, but I was going to make the exact same recommendation for similar reasons. So
I understand the motion is at the will of the body, but the word imminent is important to our office.
Tammy?
Is implemented the right word, or is funded the actual word? Because there's nothing to be implemented until it's funded and built.
Justin, Bert.
The charge is to define requirements. I suppose you may be right with respect to chicken and egg. No money, no show. I don't think I think there's a difference between funding and concept. The first sentence is intended to go to concept.
If we included both terms, would that?
I'm trying to think of a word instead of implemented that meets the concept of sort of progressed. You know, I don't have a thesaurus here. I'm sorry.
It's the Mars System project should be
continued. That would be okay.
Patricia? Well, I would recommend against that because I don't think we wanted to suggest that the revisor's office disband the system that's already created that we all depend on.
Well, now we're getting back into the unclarity between MARS system, pilot system, beta system.
Well,
precisely. That is, you're right, though. That is not my point. My point is not to roll back anything that's already existing.
Well,
I'm not addressing that.
Okay.
If we said the proposed MERS system, similarly to what you suggested earlier,
mm-hmm.
we would clarify which iteration of the system we were referring to.
I'm still trying to think of a good word for a continuation of project that isn't implemented. Pardon?
Further developed.
Okay, yes, that works.
If we said further developed, would we be okay with removing the stronger at all or at any imminent time language?
Well, as I said, imminent is important to our office. I'm just substituting further developed for the word implemented.
What about the at all? If it simply reads whether the system should be further developed at any
that would be fine. So it would read, takes no position on the question of whether the MARS system should be further developed at any imminent time.
Proposed MARS system.
Proposed MARS system, excuse me. Yes. And then I think proposed has to be inserted in the second sentence before MARS.
Okay.
I just want to make it clear that what you're suggesting is that that first sentence sounds like we have consensus on that, that would survive the vote. But then in the second sentence, we're talking about that it might need adjusting depending on what we decide to do about making a statement about funding through appropriation.
Well, the second sentence, I think, is fairly clear, and that's the position of our office.
Bert, do you feel the term imminent is equally important in the second sentence, or could we remove it from the second sentence to, since we have it in the first sentence and we're talking about further developing, which I think would clearly include the funding? That might.
I'm not clear. What are you suggesting for the second sentence?
If we removed the remove the words "the imminent," so it said.
No, we didn't remove the word "imminent." We removed the word "implemented." In the second sentence,
right,
it would stay just as it is in the first sentence.
Okay.
So the first sentence is: this report takes no position on the question of whether the proposed MARS system should be further developed at any imminent time. It also, and then it goes on to the second sentence.
I guess I was asking if would we want to, or would your office be open to removing the word imminent in the second sentence?
No.
Okay, and the reason I was asking that is that, not that I want to soften the language to make it not as important, but that it might make it seem less, that would be open to imminent funding if it would be if it was an option. But I feel like having that in there is saying that we can wait. At least that's how.
Well, the sentence says we take no position.
Can I throw something out there? Just because I understand that Wendy was very adamant about this neutrality thing. Maybe I'm missing the mark. But what if we made a statement more that would read something along the lines of this report is limited to providing or identifying and just stating what it is. This report is limited to identifying the functional and non-functional requirements of the MARS system and defining a funding mechanism to share the cost to build and maintain the MARS system among state agencies and departments, and is not intended to favor or support any particular position.
Well, if you're asking me, that doesn't serve the purposes that I'm trying to serve, which is to clearly say to the legislature and the world how to have some language in here that reflects how the Office of the Secretary of State feels.
To me, I think that based on what I've seen of other people's comments, I think that a majority of this group favors funding in the short term. And I understand the Secretary of State's position, but I guess I would vote nay on this because I think that it is a nuanced way of discouraging funding. I think what Suzanne suggested is a more neutral way of saying what the ostensible intent is here. So personally, I would vote nay, and I would imagine that I would be joined by others in that.
Ms. Chair, I should say that I do have other follow-up motions if this motion is not adopted.
Oh. Patricia?
Well, I agree with Beth that this is a large group, and we've worked on this project together, and I don't believe that the majority of the people here are necessarily going to adopt the Secretary of State's position on something, because it really does have exactly what Beth described. So I suggest we vote nay and then go from there.
Bert, do you have an amended motion you want to make? Or do
no, no. That, or we'll, do you, let, okay. I have other motions depending on the result of this motion.
Okay. So I believe the original motion was to was for the language as amended.
As amended, right.
As amended?
We've orally amended this to read as we can read it again. This report, the proposal is, this report takes no position on the question of whether the proposed MARS system should be further developed at any imminent time. It also takes no position other than defining funding options in favor of or against the imminent funding of the proposed MARS system or of any specific funding option.
I'll second. Denise seconds.
Those in.
Are we
voting on the amended motion?
I hope so.
Okay. I think we had the motion, then we amended it, and now we're going to vote on the amended motion quickly before Mary leaves. Mary, can
are you?
Able
to take part in the vote?
Okay. We have five. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
Nay. All right.
I don't know if I can vote for Wendy. I'm saying.
Yeah, the nay.
The record should reflect that OEH has voted once. We didn't bring two people to twist the vote.
Thank you. The motion does not pass.
Ms. Chair, I have another motion.
Okay.
And while I realize that this motion is moving up a little further into the process than we're really at right now. This motion simply says that there are two dissenters, and the dissenter's dissent is based on essentially the statements I made earlier about the lack of demand need of the system, as well as concerns about funding and cost issues in this time of budget shortfall.
Can we back up and did you want to talk about, I wanted to talk about your concerns while you were here with how to handle them. Have you seen this or?
I haven't seen this just now.
No, okay.
No, you have seen this.
Yeah, I saw.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Okay, I didn't.
We talked about the
right.
Concept.
Okay, you and Bert.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I guess I'd like to back up. I guess we'll kind of move on. And I know you made the motion, but I feel like we need a little bit of backstory. Maybe we can have that as part of the discussion of the motion, I suppose.
How about you allow a second, and then we'll discuss it.
Okay, sounds good. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, any discussion?
And then as part of the discussion, you're asking what OEH's concerns are?
Yeah, Denise had, you know, brought to our meeting several times your concern about wanting to have a statement in the record of the report about not supporting the cost of the project. So we're still just talking about how to best handle that, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the direct ask on it, and it's been our position, and we've tried to be consistent with this and public about this, including talking with the revisor's office about it. We think that the cost of the system is too high for the benefit to the state. And I don't know that there's anything that this committee can do about that, because the cost estimate is the cost estimate that you have. But it's our understanding that, I mean, under your numbers, there's 70 rule filings a year. Under our numbers, there's about 40, because DNR filings don't all come through us because of their statutory particular exempt language. And so when we knock up against going forward, the ability
to provide two entities access to that, it's a small group of people. Who are those two entities? One, state agencies. And state agencies are hugely important to the government. And I am one of those state agencies. But of all of the, you know, we have ways to, within state agencies, get our prioritized needs funding-wise met, and it's not this way. It's going through executive branch processes. With regard to the public, I don't see the numbers of the members of the public that are affected by this to justify the cost. Now, the cost I was looking at before I came in was the $3 million cost, because I hadn't seen this Appendix D. Still, I don't have a lot of experience with tech projects, but I have some experience with tech projects, and the experience I have with tech projects involves exponentially more filings than this, and exponentially more members of the public, including the workers' compensation, everybody involved in workers' comp in the state. Those are huge numbers, and we don't approach these costs. And so that, to me, is the record on which I say these costs are really high. So, Suzanne?
My understanding is that this motion is in direct conflict with a previously passed motion at the last meeting. So I, in the minutes, which I have misplaced, there was the motion that the report be neutral as to cost, and I don't think this would be a neutral statement, because we're not providing a statement of why other agencies might support this. This is clearly a statement that is not neutral from my perspective.
Interesting. Beth? That's an interesting point about the two conflicting, that this motion conflicts with the previously passed motion. What I was thinking, which is also consistent with what you're saying, Suzanne, is that if we are going to open up the door to advocacy such as this, then I think it would be only fair to have another sentence saying, all other members of the committee, including those representing the Department of Transportation, the Department of Labor and Industry, et cetera, believe, and then state something along the lines that we believe it is an appropriate use of resources. I think it would be only fair to limit it to one sentence, because this is a very judicious and concise statement, and I don't think we want to go beyond that. But I guess my feeling is both OAH and the Secretary of State's office have consistently, you know, voiced these thoughts. And, you know, I think there's a little bit of discretion as to whether or not we include a statement like this in the report. I don't think that we're necessarily strictly bound by the statutory directive. So I guess I think that viewpoint should be represented and reflected, but I also think it should be shown that it is nothing but a minority view.
I agree with Beth that that adding these statements to the report, that these two, we're talking about two sentences, adding these two sentences to a 20-page report doesn't negate all the work we've done. It's just a statement that we could include. And I do think that Beth's other statement, might have to think about that a bit more before we would, but we could probably draft something that could accomplish what you're talking about. So I have no problem with adding this statement to the report.
And just to respond to Suzanne, your comment about the conflicting motions, I think our original motion was talking about sort of the tone of neutrality of the report and not taking a position. It wasn't specifically about cost, but that obviously plays a large part in it. And I think that if we want to include this statement to clarify the position of OAH and Secretary of State, I think we definitely want to have a counterbalancing statement, which I think would support our discussion of neutrality, and I would support that as well. Bert?
The question of whether something else is in the report is not relevant to, in my mind, to my creation of this text or the motion generally. However, if there are people who disagree, you have to let that be known in this report, one way or another. This is a relatively neutral way of stating that. It's pretty tame. It simply states what I believe to be a fact, although I guess we're probably not going to get to any final votes until next time. And it states the reasons for this fact. And so I guess I would say this is, it's pretty weak. And I have another motion if this one does not pass.
Okay. In the interest of time, we have about a few minutes left. Is there any further discussion, Beth?
I still would urge people to vote nay on this, not because I don't think this text should be included, but because I think it's important to nail down what the context around it will be. And I do think that a one-sentence countervailing view would be appropriate, given that, in my view, it is advocacy. And if there's going to be advocacy, I think there should be a counterbalancing statement.
Tammy?
I understood Mr. Black to say that whether somebody adds another statement or not is irrelevant to the motion. So you may or may not do that, just like you can submit any edits you'd like to Justine. And so I don't see that as a reason to, given your statement that both agencies have consistently voiced this, and those sentences aren't unfair. There isn't anything about voting in favor of this addition that keeps you from adding whatever other sentence you think is appropriate.
Beth?
I respectfully disagree with that. I think that context is very important, and I think that we have more than one person expressing a view that we should have a counterbalancing statement. So I think to reflect that the group would be in favor of a counterbalancing statement, to reflect that in the motion, would be a more holistic and accurate motion to reflect the group's views.
Can I ask whether you would consider it a friendly amendment, Mr. Black, to add to this motion that you don't object to some countervailing statement that adds the names of the agencies that support the recommendations in the report?
I don't object to that, but I guess if we really want to have a complete motion, we should have this statement, and then we should have the text of the other statement. I mean, I think it would be better if everybody were fully informed before voting on this.
Can I ask a follow-up question regarding the language in the statement? It says two dissenting members, dissent was based on the perceived lack of demand, et cetera, et cetera. And I know we kind of went round and round with Denise at the meetings trying to understand the position of the OAH was taking. Is the dissent here that you're talking about your dissent and not supporting the cost of the system, or in not supporting the cost and or the idea behind the system? I guess we had kind of separated them at the meeting, and are you dissenting to the whole package? I guess I'm wondering if that's not quite clear of what the dissent means. If there was an appropriation, you know, would you still not support the project?
I can only answer that question in light of the reality that I know. We're walking into a legislative session with a budget shortfall where there are a lot of competing needs for public resources. And so if asked by legislators at testimony table, I would not be able to say this is a priority of OAH, given the other things that will be on the table for this legislative session, none of which are from OAH. If what you're really asking is, beyond the cost, are there other things that you think are problematic? Yes, but it doesn't matter if I don't support the cost, then it doesn't matter whether I identify for you every other piece of the project that I think could be improved over time and probably will be. Okay. I'm happy to, but I don't think it helps you any at this point in time.
I agree with Bert's statement that the best motion would be one that has all the entirety of the language, including the counterbalancing statement. So I would urge people to vote nay so that we can make a motion at the next meeting that has all the language.
Well, obviously, I disagree. I was hoping people would come up with some language right now, but that's up to you.
Given that we're over time, I wouldn't want to make it a rushed amendment at this point.
Any further discussion or?
My only other last point is, given where you are in the process, you only have one meeting left. So if you vote this motion down and it's re-brought up next meeting, it will be too late at that meeting to not write a minority report, because we'll be at the last meeting. So you should vote your conscience, as you should in all things, but OAH will then have to proceed with a minority report.
Yeah, well, I think that is an excellent point. I would say that we all have the ability to submit some language for Justine to put in her report. I think that this is a good solution to a difficult problem. I don't think that we want to have minority reports for various reasons. So I intend to support this motion.
Suzanne, and then I think we...
So my point or question is, if the tone of the report is neutral and then we have a dissenting opinion, what exactly is it that's being dissented, which I think, Justin, you were starting to get at a little bit with, are you dissenting the functional and non-functional, or are you dissenting the funding, or what exactly is being dissented if it's technically a neutral report? Because usually a neutral report won't have a position to dissent with or from.
Bert?
Well, we've had some discussion about whether it's neutral or there should be positions earlier in today's meeting. And it's been said it would be better for the legislature if in fact there were some guidelines or direction posts for them, which I guess is not neutral. But this is simply a statement of fact. You're going to have two dissenting votes, okay? And that deserves to be reflected in this report. This is a way of reflecting that, because if it's not reflected, frankly, it implies that everybody was for this. It implies that we think this should go forward. And my office does not.
I think that we could include the language and still have the report be neutral, and this is just, I guess, additional information that reflects the positions of some of the working group members. I also agree with Patricia that I think we should avoid a minority report, as I think it might discredit or devalue our work in a way that we don't want to occur. I think we should vote on this motion, and then we can come up with some other language that we can include as well to counteract it. Beth?
So, as I understand it, has the motion been amended to say we would adopt this language as written plus a counterbalancing statement?
No, I said it was irrelevant.
Okay.
And nobody else has made a motion.
Okay. So then I still would urge people to vote nay, and then to make a new motion saying that a one-sentence counterbalancing statement would be put in.
Well, if you vote no, there's nothing to counterbalance.
Well, to me, this is advocacy. There's no question but that talking about concerns over funding issues and the perceived lack of demand or need for the system, that's advocacy. So if we're opening the door to advocacy, I think a one-sentence countervailing piece of advocacy would be appropriate.
No, no. I'm saying if you vote no on this and it fails, you have nothing to counterbalance. So do you really want to vote no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think a new motion would a new motion would correct what you're talking about, that illogic.
I don't think we need a new motion. I think we can...
Well, we've got a motion before us, Madam Chair.
Right. Let's take a vote on the motion before us, and then we can make another motion to include the counterbalancing language as well.
Okay.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
Suzanne, was that...
Sorry.
Okay.
That was
okay.
I was just reviewing the previous motion that approved at the last meeting.
Okay. The motion passes.
Motion. I'd like to make a motion that one additional sentence be added to the report. That's a countervailing sentence immediately after this language.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor? Any discussion?
Aye. Yeah, I could see that. That would be acceptable to me.
Okay.
Could we add to the amendment or to the friendly amendment that was just accepted a time deadline so that everyone has a chance to see it before, in fact, the next meeting, so that we know if we're still preparing minority reports or not? Some reasonable time frame. Don't know what that is. Whatever you think you need.
How about a week from today, which is the 10th, which would give us about a week prior to our last meeting. We'll circulate language and so that we can review it and have any discussion needed at the last meeting. Okay. Shall we take a vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
I'd like to vote present.
I believe the motion passes, and language will be sent out by January 10th. We are quite out of time. I'll table the other items on the agenda for next time. I think that will be okay, or they can be dealt with in a, they're more... housekeeping issues. Our next meeting and final meeting is January 16th. Thank you all for coming. This adjourns this meeting at 4:11 of the Mars Working Group.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for